The first one comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Then also from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are at this Sunday that celebrates the ascension of our Lord. Today we celebrate that our Savior is risen. Even today, he is risen. We are diving into a new series today. And as we do so, let me remind you that the Bible is very clear that men and women have and continue to play a significant role in the story of redemption. Theologically, there's a wide range of views when it comes to women in ministry. But what is clear is that women and men are a valuable part of God's plan. This series, entitled Notable Women, is designed to pay homage to several women found in the Gospel of Luke, to enable women who use their roles in society and family to better their society and family. We're going to acknowledge the importance of their influence and to exalt the virtues of these women who were particularly godly examples. There are, of course, numerous accounts throughout scriptures of women who meet these qualifications or who are notable women or who moved the gospel forward, who played a significant role in the redemption of the world. But we've been spending a significant amount of time in the Gospel of Luke. Really, since the beginning of the year, we've been in the Gospel of Luke, moving forward, looking at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and then looking at the end of Jesus' life here on earth. And so I thought it would be neat to go backwards now, looking closer at some of the women that were mentioned along the way. So we will be looking at 4 women leading up to Mother's Day. Today we'll be talking about Mary Magdalene. Next week we'll be talking about Mary and Martha. Then we'll be talking about the sinful woman found in Luke chapter 7. And then finally, on Mother's Day, we'll be talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. My hope is that you and I, men and women, will recognize how God has used these women, how they have played an important role in the redemptive history of our world, and that we can introduce the lessons that we learn from them into our daily lives. This week we're looking at the life of Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene is probably one of the better known women of scriptures, but also probably the most misunderstood. Our scripture reading this morning came from the Gospel of Luke, and I said that we're going to be moving backwards through the Gospel of Luke, but you'll find that as we begin to paint pictures of these women's lives, that we will explore actually all four Gospels. The name Mary Magdalene appears throughout Scripture, throughout the four Gospels, 12 times. She appears in all four Gospels. But really, even though she appears in all four Gospels, we're not given a significant amount of details about Mary's life. And really what we believe that we know, or what we often believe that we know about Mary Magdalene, is based more on myth and tradition than it really is our understanding of Scripture. And so as we dive into who Mary was, it's important to take first a look at who she was not. Who she was not. Early church traditions identify Mary with the woman, the sinful woman found in Luke chapter 7. But there's really no real reason to make this connection. Really, Luke introduces Mary Magdalene just right after this story, and it introduces her by name. And so it seems highly unlikely that Mary Magdalene could have been the same woman whom Luke described but did not name in the preceding account. Luke was, in nature, a careful historian. And so to have left out the name in this previous passage makes it seem like these are two separate accounts of two separate women. Mary Magdalene is also often confused with a woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. But really, there's no scriptural evidence to support this either. And in recent years, there's been a resurgence of what have been called the apocryphal works, or the extra-canonical works, or these books that are supposedly missing books of the Bible. Bibles that the Protestant church does not recognize as being the Word of God. And there's all kinds of stories that we find about Mary in those books. And popular media has taken these accounts and really kind of blended them and created this mythology surrounding Mary Magdalene. A good example of this would be the Da Vinci Code, where they've taken several myths about Mary Magdalene and said that she would have been married to Jesus, and in fact even have had children with Jesus. And really, these stories are nothing short of being blasphemous. Really, they're completely untrue, based on myth and legend. Some of the best evidence of this, that these things are not true, is the fact that Jesus' enemies were looking for any excuse that they could to find fault in him. If there had been any doubt whatsoever for them to drum up when it came to Jesus' relationship in terms of women, we would have found accounts of it. No accusations were ever made against Jesus in terms of his relationship with women or how he treated them. And so really, oftentimes what we think we know about Mary, that she's often identified as being a prostitute, and Scripture nowhere says that she was. Or really, our culture today and some of our mythology surrounding Mary says that she was in some type of romantic relationship with Jesus. And again, there is no scriptural basis for that. But really, what we do know about Mary is really even more remarkable than what we don't know. We do, though, that Mary Magdalene would have had a very dark past. Luke introduces her as being a woman that Jesus would have cast out seven demons from. Mark also mentions the seven demons that were cast out of Mary Magdalene. And we're not told the specifics of those seven demons. We're not told the specifics of how Jesus came into the presence of Mary Magdalene. What we do know through Scripture is that as Jesus encountered demons or people who were possessed by evil spirits, that those people, those spirits, never sought Jesus out. They never willingly came into the presence of Jesus. Rather, it was Jesus that either sought them out, called them to him, or they happened to be where Jesus was doing ministry already and were kind of caught off guard or were surprised and dismayed by Jesus's presence. Evil spirits never voluntarily entered the presence of Jesus Christ throughout Scripture. But we do see Jesus Christ in his sovereignty drawing people possessed by these spirits into his presence and really driving evil spirits out of multitudes of people. We see people throughout Scripture who have been afflicted by evil spirits, all sorts of physical, mental, emotional torment. Everything from violent convulsions to self-harm to gloominess, sadness, really this life of misery. And we can't mistake these demon possessions with medical conditions or mental health conditions. Really, Scripture addresses those and makes a clear distinction between the two. And so we know that in the case of Mary Magdalene, that she very much would have actually had evil spirits possessing her body, and that Jesus Christ drove them out of her, and in the process completely transformed Mary's life. You see, when Mary would have tried maybe to have improved her life on her own. But we know that we, as sinful people, cannot drive the sin out of our lives on our own. We cannot conquer sin on our own. It takes Jesus Christ to do that. Following her deliverance, Mary Magdalene began following along with that really close inner circle of Jesus, following him as Jesus traveled and did ministry. Jesus encouraged both men and women to follow him, and Mary Magdalene would have been included in that group. Luke writes that Mary Magdalene would have been part of the group who financially supported Jesus' ministry. And we're not told where Mary's money came from. Maybe she inherited it. We don't know. But somehow she had money and was able to support Jesus' ministry. We're given clues that she would have been unmarried and without any family obligations, freeing her up to travel with Jesus without feeling any kind of guilt. And really, if she would have had obligations at home or to family or parents or something like that, Jesus most likely would have encouraged her to meet those obligations. We know from her name where she was from. The name Mary Magdalene. Magdalene is not really a surname in the sense that we would know of it as today. Oftentimes people were given surnames or second names to identify where they were from, to provide a distinction from them and another person with the same name. And so Mary Magdalene would have been from the city of Magdala. It would have been in the area of Galilee, really close, about 5 miles from Capernaum, which we see as being Jesus's home base throughout his Galilean ministry. And so Mary would have been distinguished from Mary of Bethany or Mary the mother of James or Mary of the mother of Jesus. All kinds of Marys we find following Jesus. And so Mary Magdalene would have been Mary from Magdala. We see that Mary Magdalene remained faithful to Jesus. Really throughout, since the time of her deliverance from evil spirits, she followed with Jesus all the way to Jerusalem, that she would have been present as he was arrested, as he was tried, as he was crucified, as he died, was buried, and then we will see as he is raised again. really, Mary remained faithful even when the other disciples left Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and John all record that she was present at the crucifixion. She stood there with the other women, close enough to hear Jesus as he addressed his mother and John. And then later we see that they were standing far off, almost as if they couldn't make themselves leave, but they couldn't bear to watch either. And so they've moved further away. Mary Magdalene would have seen the moments of Jesus' death, and then she would have seen Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body, and along with Nicodemus, she would have seen Joseph of Arimathea hastily prepare the body of Jesus, racing against the clock, knowing that the Sabbath was coming, knowing that they had to get the body of Jesus prepared for burial before the Sabbath would have coming. Really, it's only because of Mary Magdalene, that the other disciples knew where Jesus was taken, where his body was taken and laid in the tomb. Mary would have witnessed the haste in which Jesus' body would have been prepared for burial. Luke 23:55-56 says, "She and the other Mary began preparations of their own, of burial spices before the Sabbath began." We get the sense that Mary Magdalene was not satisfied with the way that Jesus' body was prepared for burial. And so she herself begins making preparations to prepare his body for burial. But the Sabbath is coming. And so she has to wait for the Sabbath to be over. And it is immediately as the Sabbath ends, very early in the morning, we see Mary Magdalene traveling to the tomb, going to prepare his body the right way, giving his body the treatment that it deserved as her deliverer, as her savior. And we see that as Mary ventures towards the tomb, that resurrection really isn't anywhere in her mindset. She's consumed with grief. She's consumed with wanting to honor and respect the body of Jesus. But then we see that she has the eternal distinction of being the first person whom Christ revealed himself to after his resurrection. But as Mary arrived at the tomb, she finds that the stone is rolled away, that the tomb is empty. And fearing that Jesus' body has been stolen, she races back to tell the other disciples. And she meets Peter and John along the path. And she tells them that his body is gone. And Peter and John, and they run to the tomb, and they find that, as Mary has said, that the tomb is empty. And as Mary is waiting outside, an angel speaks to her and it says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." And then just then, she turns, and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't realize that it's Jesus, at least not at first. And he asks her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." You see, Mary doesn't remember what Jesus has taught her. He doesn't remember what he said about that he was going to have to suffer and die and then on the third day be raised again. She's forgotten that. She's forgotten the gospel. In her grief, she's forgotten the good news. And as she addresses this man that she thinks is the gardener, he says, "Mary." He calls her by name, one word, her name. And immediately she knows who he is, responding, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She had forgotten Jesus' teaching, but one word, her name, reminded her of the fullness that Jesus had to offer her and what he had already done for her. We don't know a lot about Mary Magdalene's past. Really, we don't know a lot about Mary Magdalene in general. there's only those two short passages in all of Scripture, or two stories. It's the same story retold in all four gospel accounts, and we get more information from each one as we build them, we paint this picture, but really not a ton of information. But there's still quite a bit that we can learn about Mary. The first thing that I would like for us to learn this morning is to not to accept the world's definition of you. Don't accept the world's definition of you. Throughout history and tradition, Mary has received this definition of being something that she was not. A prostitute or a woman of, moral less than-ness. That she would have had this bad reputation. But really what she should be known as this amazing disciple of Jesus Christ. There's an honor in being the first person that Jesus revealed himself to. And that's her identity. Not what the world says about her. Not what history says about her. Not her past. Not what her life looked like before Jesus cast out those seven demons. But what her life looked like that Easter morning. So don't be concerned with how the world defines you. Be concerned by how Jesus Christ defines you and your relationship with him. What transformation has he made in your life? Who are you today because of what Jesus Christ has done? That's what's important. The second thing that we can learn is that we need to be on a first name basis with Jesus. All Jesus had to say was Mary, just her first name, and instantly she knew who he was. The connection was made. And the connection was made because of the time that they had spent together. Be on a first name basis with Jesus. It's really not that complicated of a thing. Being on a first name basis with anyone really shouldn't be that complicated of a thing. You know, it's the process of touching base with one another, checking in with them, talking with them, listening to them, making contact with them throughout the day on a weekly basis to join with them in mission and action. And as we seek to build relationships with people, to become on first name basis with people that we work with, people that we become friends with, the same things that we do with those people are the same things that we do as we develop a first name basis with Jesus Christ. We touch base with him. We remind ourselves who he is. We touch base with him and we talk to him through prayer, daily prayer. That we listen, that we read scripture, we listen for God's voice in the midst of that. That when we pray, we allow time for silence so that God can speak to us in our hearts. That it's this daily thing. The best relationships are built on good communication. And if we are never communicating with the God of the universe, with Jesus Christ, how can we expect to ever be on a first name basis with him? It's so easy to forget daily to be in contact with him. But we see what the rewards of it are in the story of Mary. That Jesus calls her by her first name, and she responds. And there's this amazing connection, really, this eternal significance of her being the first one to see the risen Savior. Imagine that. Imagine what it will look like someday to stand in the presence of your Savior and to have him refer to you by your name. It's an incredible thing. The third thing that we can learn from Mary Magdalene is to not let our present circumstances, whether it's sadness, calamity, or anything else, prevent us from remembering the truth of the gospel. Mary was so caught up in her grief and sadness, her sense of duty and responsibility, that she forgot the teachings of Jesus. you know, right now, and really throughout our lives, we're faced with difficult times. Sometimes it's a moment. Sometimes it's a day. Sometimes it lasts for weeks, months, and years. Periods of darkness, periods of sadness or sickness, periods where we feel alone or isolated. And it's easy to forget that in the midst of all of that, that we worship a risen Savior, the Prince of Peace, the God of hope. And then we can't let anything of this world or outside of this world allow us to forget the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ loves us. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He wants to be in relationship with you, not just now, not just in this moment, but forever. That's incredible. And the last thing that we can learn from Mary Magdalene is to go and tell others that he is risen. Now see, that's the last thing that we hear of Mary Magdalene, is that after a conversation with Jesus that she goes and she tells the disciples that he is risen. So if you are on a first name basis with Jesus, if your life has been redefined by what he has done in your life, and let me tell you, if you are on a first name basis with Jesus Christ, then your life has been redefined by him. And if you believe in the truth of the gospel, go and tell people about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you move and work in our lives. We thank you for stories of powerful people throughout scriptures like Mary Magdalene, who can inspire us to be better disciples, better followers of you. I pray this morning that all of us would learn from the example of Mary Magdalene and our pursuit of following you, that day by day that we would learn better to follow in your footsteps. We thank you, we praise you, and it's your holy name that we pray. Amen.